Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And it's a wonderful Wednesday night. And, you know, I'm on an open show tonight. That means you get to be the guest. That means you get to ask questions. That means you can see if you've got a question that you say, if you answer this for me, Drew, it will really help me tremendously in my personal financial planning. So feel free to call in 410-922-6680. And as you could tell, I don't have a co-host tonight because my co-host, Mikey McCarthy, forgot it was his wife's birthday. And she reminded him that tonight is her birthday. Are you not going to be home for my birthday? And Mike said, no, I was intending fully to be home for your birthday. Anyway, so we wish her, Holly, a happy birthday tonight. And you get me, just me. And so you do me a favor, call in, ask a question, keep me company tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question, direct the conversation to help you the most and say, this is what I want to talk about, because this would prove to be beneficial to me if you answer this question, 410-922-6680. And, our firm, the Financial Consulate, is a fee-only independent financial advisory firm. Everybody in our firm is credentialed in some way, most dual credentialed. I'm personally a CPA and CFP, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Public Accountant. And that's what we believe professional financial advisors should be. They should be experienced. They should be highly educated, highly credentialed, and they should be independent fee-only fiduciary advisors. And if you laid those credentials and that experience and the independence and the fiduciary against any advisor that you're dealing with, and most of you would say, well, my person's not like that. My person does take commissions. My person isn't independent. They work for a brokerage firm. They work for an insurance company. They work for a bank. They don't have credentials, or they might have one credential, but they don't have two, and they don't work as a fiduciary, and that's probably the most important of all criteria, is that they completely work on a fiduciary capacity at all times, cannot flip back and forth and say, oh, I was working as a fiduciary then, but I'm not working as a fiduciary now. And so that's what we believe a professional advisor should be. And they should be able to comprehensively address any topic, and no matter how complex or how simplistic, dealing with personal finance. I get clients call me all the time, ask what's the best credit card to take out. And I give them my ideas, and I also give them some websites they can go and do some homework of their own. Very simple. But I get other clients that ask, hey, I've got a fairly high net worth. How do I minimize estate taxes? What are we going to do? Or, there could be incredible complexity in a situation. An advisor, a true advisor, should be able to go through the gamut of either simplistic personal advice for somebody all the way up to the most sophisticated of advice for a client. So if you want to call in tonight, ask your question, 410-922-6680, and keep me company tonight, or else I'll just have to figure out how to ramble on for an hour all by myself. Not a problem, though. I can do it. Trust me, I've done it before. While I wait for people to call in, I'll just tell you that this Friday, I am practicing what I preach. My wife and I are buying a house in Amelia Island, Florida, which is the northeast corner northeast of Jacksonville, just across the St. Mary's River of Georgia that separates Georgia and Florida. But we will be in Florida, Amelia Island. The town's called Fernandina Beach. We'll be buying on Friday. I intend to live there the majority of the time. I will be in Maryland, and I will pay some Maryland taxes based on the amount of time I'm here and the amount of revenue our company generates in Maryland and so forth. So I intend to do everything perfectly according to what the law says. But most people don't understand what does it mean to be a Florida resident. And most people think it's very simplistic. I'm going to live there 6 months and a day. That is not a Florida resident. You think you move to Florida or you get a second home in Florida and you go down there and you say, yep, I was definitely here 6 months and a day, so therefore I'm a Florida resident, and you could be in serious trouble. And I've talked about this before. You have two big words that you have to understand, resident and domicile. And the words have some slightly different meanings, and you have to understand the difference between the two. And you have to be very careful because many states, especially New York and California and a couple others, are very aggressive in this category. Maryland is reasonably aggressive, but not overtly aggressive, as long as they feel that the information is legitimate. But I tell you, they will search your pinging of cell towers on your cell phone. They will search your credit card records. Where did you use your credit card? Because a lot of people will say, oh, yeah, I was there 6 months and a day. But, you know, you can't even be in Maryland for 1 minute. If you're in Maryland 1 minute and then go across the border into Virginia, you're in Maryland for the whole day. So you have to always think about these things. And it's not just simply 6 months and 1 day. So if you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680, I'm going to have to, I got a couple callers online, but there's still plenty of lines on open, but I am right up against my first traffic, so Richard and Catherine, you are going to have to hold for me for this traffic break and commercials and all that kind of stuff. It's 3 or 4 minutes, and I hope you'll hold so I can answer your questions and anybody else who wants to call in, 410-922-6680. Maybe you want to talk about what's domicile and how do I make sure that if I have a second home that my domicile is out of Maryland and so forth. So anyway, we're going to take that pause with traffic. We're going to be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yep. Me and little Jimbo down by the bayou or something like that, you know? Anyway, we're here on Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're going to Richard for holding all that time. Richard in Westminster, how can I help you? Richard decided not to hold. So, Catherine's up. Catherine in Crossville, Tennessee. How can we help you?
Yes, sir. I'll be 62 here in a few months.
Okay.
And I'm contemplating on taking my Social Security benefits, and I realize I'll have a penalty. But we are debt-free. The house is owned. We have supplements with pension to pay for our Medicare supplements.
Okay.
And it's a great company where things keep on coming. I do have a good amount of stock. You know, I'm praying for the utilities, but...
Right, I hear you. So let me ask you a quick question. You're married, I assume, right, you said?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and your health and your husband's health?
Husband, he's going to be 70 here. He has some major issues.
All right, well then, who has the higher Social Security, him or you?
He does.
He does. And when did he start collecting his Social Security?
Unfortunately, it's 62.
62 also. So he took the discount on the bigger of the two Social Securities, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you need the money?
Well, yeah, to maintain the golfing here. A little bit of lifestyle would be nice.
Well, then you guys should go ahead and take it, especially, you know, because if one of the two of you were to pass away, your Social Security would disappear forever and ever, and you'll never get a nickel from it.
Okay.
Well, so that's a reason why the lower of the two Social Security checks when you're married will be the check that will disappear. So if your husband's got the bigger one and yours is smaller, and either one of the two of you, he passes away or you pass away, boom, your check just disappears into the hinterlands.
Yes. Oh, okay. It looks like I need to get my paperwork together and get my military paper together so I get the credits for the service.
Sure. Sure.
It sounds like a winner.
All right.
Thank you.
You
I
take
love
care.
WCBM. Thank
take
you.
Take care. Thank you. We're going to Tom in Towson, but real quick, I just want to say we're on open show. Now we have lines open. Only Tom's on the line, 410-922-6680. We call it Keep Drew Entertained tonight, so I don't have Mikey or Chris here to entertain me. So you're up, 410-922-6680. Tom in Towson, how can I help you?
Hi, yeah, well, I can call you back a little later and help you entertain yourself.
You could...
my question bears on residency in Florida, and I have a house in Maryland.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy a house in Florida.
Okay.
I want to be a Florida resident so that I do not have to pay state taxes.
Okay.
So my question goes to my driver's license. Can I maintain a Maryland driver's license and still be have my primary residence in Florida?
Sort of, but I wouldn't recommend it. I would recommend that you change everything to Florida. Your car be registered in Florida, your driver's license be in Florida, you vote in Florida. You know, as much as you can do in Florida and be out of the state of Maryland the majority of the time, and well more than just 6 months and a day. So that's what you would have to do. And remember that you don't necessarily stop paying Maryland income tax if you're ever in Maryland part of the time and working.
Oh, no, I'm retired. So
you're totally retired and your only income comes from IRAs, 401ks, investment dividends, and so forth.
Actually, it's state retirement, so I'm a winner.
You're on a state retirement.
No, I don't have to worry about
it. Okay. So just make sure that you move your heart out of Maryland. That's what the concept's all about. You have to move your heart out of Maryland, that you think of Florida as your primary residence, no longer Maryland. You don't vote here anymore. You don't driver's license here anymore. These are just some of the things that would show that you truly disconnected from Maryland, and Maryland is nothing more than a temporary secondary residence for coming to visit children or, you know, whatever the case may be. All right?
I understand what you recommend, but I'm wondering if I could manage to do that and still maintain my Maryland driver's license. Or could I get a second? Well, here's the thing. If I transfer my car to Florida, it costs about $700 just to set everything up down there. Or if I leave my car in Maryland and leave it under Maryland insurance and Maryland, keep my Maryland license.
Well, your insurance company may not like that either. So, you know, if you tell them your primary residence is in Florida, but the car is registered in Maryland, they may not like that also. So, you know, I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just saying that you're going to have a more difficult time if anybody were to ask you to prove it, that you'll be able to prove that you've totally removed yourself from Maryland.
I see.
Okay?
All Okay.
So that's the concept.
Can I call you back later?
You can feel free to, and it'd be great to talk to you again. All right. So we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. It can be on anything. You know, I'm talking about residency with Tom, and I talked about it earlier, but we talked about Social Security with Catherine. You can call and ask about Social Security or Medicare, your IRA, your 401k, Roth IRAs. This is the time of year that you guys should be doing Roth IRAs, everybody out there. If you haven't done, and I've got an article coming on Friday called A Roth Strategy, and why, and this article really goes into the detail of why it is critical to have a Roth strategy, that, you know, that as you go into retirement, you've got a good $100,000, $200,000, $1 million even possibly in Roth accounts. And the Roth is the one that's 100% tax-free forever. And you know how many people overlook the Roth and are not doing the Roth, and they'll have all kinds of reasons why they're not doing Roth, but it sounds good, but you're missing the importance of creating a Roth strategy. And in the article I talk about, had a client had no Roth strategy, and we've developed one where they'll be doing over $66,000 a year for the next 10 years before they retire in Roth contributions, as opposed to right now, they're doing zero. And they didn't think they could do any. And we showed them very clearly that here's how you can do $66,000 a year. And some people can even do possibly upwards of $90,000 to $100,000 a year. It just depends on what your company offer and, you know, where your income is and what other assets you have and so forth. But there's a lot of little nuances you got to hit to get a Roth strategy going. We're going to go to Doug in Glen Burnie. Doug, how can I help you?
I'm doing good. Here's my question. In December, I put $10,000 into a Roth IRA stock trading account.
Okay.
Today, the account is worth $200,000.
Okay.
Do I owe taxes on that money?
If it's a Roth account, Doug, it's 100% tax-free.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeehaw.
Make sure you sell, though, and before it goes back down to 10 again.
Yeah, I did real well in the last 3 months. I'm 200 grand to the good.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. And it's 100% tax-free if it's in a Roth account, my friend.
That's so, what it is.
And that's why
they're going to hate me.
No, they won't even know, my friend. They won't know. All they know is what your contributions are. They don't never monitor what you've made in the account, at least not yet. Let's put it that way. All right?
Okay, thank you.
All right, good question. Excellent question. And that's a great precursor to why I keep saying to people, you've got to have a Roth strategy. And, you know, I have a client right now that we were working with just today. Okay, they have no Roth strategy at all. They don't put any money in Roth. And they say, you know, I can't afford to put any money in my 401k, you know, because they're trying to live off of their salary. But they have $100,000 in bank accounts and a couple other investment accounts, which is after-tax money. And my point is, well, why wouldn't you just take and put $26,000 into your 401k Roth like you're allowed to, okay? Put the $26,000 in, and if you don't have enough money per month, just draw off of the savings account or the investment account, which is after tax. It's not tax-free like the Roth. It's after tax. And now this bucket will be growing, even though this bucket may be stagnant or declining. It's irrelevant because now I have more money overall, and the majority of it is starting to accumulate in this Roth bucket. You have to have a Roth strategy, and you need a tax person to help you develop a tax strategy. You don't need a salesman selling you investments and acting as if they know something about investments, and I don't even want to go there. So anyway, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. Right now I got to go to traffic again. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
One of the great old fiddlers of all times, you know? Anyway, We're here with Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Direct the conversation. We've got Cindy and we've got Tom, and if you want to ask a question, keep me company tonight, 410-922-6680. Plenty of lines open if you want to call in. Well, I go to Cindy in Chester County. Cindy, how can I help you?
I'm good. I have a question about reverse mortgage.
Sure.
I have no children.
Okay.
I'm just of the age to be able to do it. What do you feel about reverse mortgage, getting money out and investing it?
Well, I don't know that I would encourage a client to do that and invest it.
Right.
I would encourage you to do it if you needed money. And I have four questions that you have to answer in order to do a reverse mortgage. The first one you've sort of answered, and that is, do you not care if anything's left behind to somebody in the future?
No.
And the answer is no, right? And the second question is, do you intend to live in that house until the day you die?
Yes.
Okay. So there's another positive, the third one is, do you need money? You know, and if you do, getting your money out of the equity of your house is a very, very good thing. And then the last question is, do you not care what the banks are going to charge you to get the equity out of your house and be able to still live in that house for the rest of your life?
Now, by that question, that one confuses me. So I thought that if you got a reverse mortgage, you get the money, and then when you die, that's when that happens.
Yes, that is absolutely true. But you see, here's the point, Cindy, and that is that, let's say your house is worth $500,000, all right?
All right.
In your lifetime, the bank might give you $250,000 of it, okay?
Right.
So over the rest of your lifetime, when you pass away, the bank is going to be interest and fees and so forth will have eaten up the other $250,000 of original equity in your home. That's how the game is played. Okay.
Right.
So you're right. You don't pay it until you leave the house or pass away. But if you're not concerned about that and you want to get the access to the equity in your house, or you want to eliminate whatever mortgage payment you have left on your house, a home equity credit line can be excellent if you answered all four of those questions no. And I will say that the federal government under President Obama did some positive things to force home equity reverse mortgages to be a little more kind about the fees that they charge. So in other words, the costs have come down to a more reasonable level. They're not cheap in any way, shape, or form. But before, they used to steal money from people. Now, I'd say it's a reasonable, logical thing that as long as you answer no to all those questions, it works for you. All right?
Okay, so if your house is paid off and you did it, you would recommend it? And if I answered no to all the questions, you would recommend it, right?
Yeah,
you should do
what's called the home equity credit line reverse mortgage, is where you take out and your house is worth $500,000, and so they give you a credit line of like $250,000, and you have to be like 62 years of age in order to do this. Okay, so that's you're close, but not there. You said right?
Not quite there yet. This has been my concern. I have a nice house, but what I worry about is money, when I want to retire.
Right.
And I'm going to have to work either the rest of my life, or can I use my house to do that and stay here and not worry as bad as I worry now?
Right.
Pay for, like I said.
Yeah, well, the reverse mortgage can work. Now, there are some things you have to keep in mind. They do require you to maintain the house and so forth, so you still have all those expenses. You just you'd have that anyway, absolutely, but
right.
They want to protect their investment now as much as you want to protect your investment.
Exactly.
So I've used them in the last 4 or 5 years since these new tax laws reverse mortgage laws came in. Prior to that, I felt they were just criminal, what they were
doing.
But the new ones, not bad, not great. But if you answer all the questions like you did, yes, then you should consider the home equity, I mean, the reverse mortgage home equity credit line. And all right.
Yes, I really appreciate that because I've been on the fence about it and about selling this place and getting a smaller place and then putting the money in the bank, or you know what I mean?
Well, that's always another option. So, you know, you can consider lots of different ones. All right.
Well, I like that one, and I thank you. You have a good night. You're
Take care.
Really good.
Thank you, Cindy. Take care. Tom in Towson, how can I help you?
Yeah, hi, Drew. Do you think that the estate tax under Biden is going to be, threshold is going to go down to like 3.5?
According to President Biden's campaign things that he said, his recommendation is to go back to the Obama estate tax law, which would put the estate tax at about $6 million per person with portability. I don't expect him to go back to the $3.5 million that some people in the Democratic primary campaigned on. And I definitely don't expect him to even consider Bernie Sanders' $1 million proposal. So I think his most logical, and watching how Biden has acted already in the first few weeks, he's gone back and brought his boss's rules back into play. And so I would expect him to return to the Obama estate tax laws, which would put the estate tax, which goes up by the rate of inflation, so it was $5 million in 2011 plus inflation ever since. And if you calculate that out, you're going to be at about $6 million if he returns to the Obama estate tax law.
Okay. And the Maryland threshold is what, $1 million?
Those criminals should wake up at one day and realize how imbecilic they are. Is that a word? Is imbecilic a word? Look it up in the Merriam dictionary.
It's a good word.
How imbecilic their law is. They have decoupled from the federal government, and they are at $5 million with no inflation increase. Now, that to me, I mean, $5 million is ridiculous. You ought to just couple it with the Fed. And if you're going to do it, just couple it with the Fed. But they didn't. They insisted on going with their own rule, $5 million, and there is portability, so you get $10 million if you're married, but no inflation increase. That's what's ridiculous. But here's the thing. Maryland, it doesn't know a tax that it doesn't like. It has an estate tax. It has an inheritance tax. It has a sales tax. It has an income tax. There is no reason. That's why I was talking about earlier in this show why my wife and I are going to buy a house in Florida and begin disassociating with Maryland as much as I can, because I'm tired of them constantly feeling that they need more and more and more and more money from people. You know, at least Florida says, okay, we're going to hit you with a sales tax. We're going to hit you with property tax. We're going to hit you with, you know, a couple other taxes. But there's no estate tax, no inheritance tax, and no income tax. Now, you know, why can't this state try to do something for us instead of just tax the living hell out of you and think that they need more money to do all their wonderful things that they believe they're doing? Anyway, am I finished yet, Tom?
Okay, no, I got one more question. Okay, so the purpose of the gift tax is when a person has, let's say, over the threshold, let's say they have, you know, whatever the threshold is, let's say it's $6 million and they have over $6 million, or death.
So you're talking about federal, and are you married or single?
Single, federal.
Single, federal. So you go over the $6 million. And they're taking 40%, but Maryland's taking another 16%.
Okay, but the gift tax, the purpose of that is if you give away money before you die, they're going to bring back that gift into your gross estate.
That's correct. So if what you're saying, Tom, is if I'm worth $5 million, if I'm worth $8 million and I give $2 million away to my children before I pass away, then when they go to do my estate calculation, even though I've only have $6 million left when I die, they'll say, well, wait a minute, you made $2 million in gifts. And if you didn't file a gift tax return, a 709 gift tax return, and then you owe even penalties and interest and so forth for not filing those gift tax returns. And then, they'll add that in and they'll say $8 million. You're over by, $6 million by $2 million. Now we want 40% of $2 million. We want $800,000 from your children. But I'll tell you.
How will they know that you didn't file a gift tax return?
Let me tell you something. You ready for this?
Yeah.
You know how many estate tax returns get audited? 100%. 100%. Did you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
That means that they go and get everything. Because think about it, 40%. The IRS is like a business, okay? They're thinking, when we have to put our people's time and effort to things, now what would you do? Would you go after somebody with a $6 or $7 million estate and try to prove that he didn't file a gift tax return or whatever and get 40% of whatever you prove that he didn't do? Or would you rather go after a guy who made $100,000 of income and didn't report $10,000 on his tax return? They're going to go after the estate tax returns, my friend, and they're going to audit 100% of them. And let me tell you something, no attorney, no CPA like myself is going to touch that return and file that estate tax return for you unless you absolutely prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. And if you don't file, they'll catch you. Absolutely. No two ways about it. Don't take a chance. You need a good estate planner. You need a good comprehensive financial advisor who does this kind of stuff and tries to figure out the legal ways that you can do gifting and reduce your estate without triggering the estate tax. And there are people that have hundreds of millions of dollars, and when they die, they pay not a nickel in estate tax. So there are things that can be done, Tom. All right? I got to run. Good call. We got to take a traffic pause, and I'm going to be right back with Lee. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're going to the phones. Anybody want to get online? 410-922-6680. I've got Lee first. Lee, how can I help you?
I got a question. I was going to transfer some T. Rowe Price shares to a relative, and on the transfer form, they talked about the basis would be cost basis, or you could choose another basis. Is there another basis that's better than cost basis?
So it's an interesting question. No, cost basis is cost basis, and it's the only basis you can use. So let's say you bought the mutual fund for $10 and the mutual fund's trading at $18, okay? When you transfer it to a relative or anybody, other than your spouse, even with your spouse, tell you the truth, if you transfer it to somebody else, then the cost basis in that new person's hands is $10 a share if you did it when you were alive, Okay.
Right.
If you transfer it because you died and your executor's transferring the same security, bought at 10, sat trading at 18, the heir gets the new cost basis at 18. So that's right. What the form is saying. The form is saying if this is a inter vivos, a during your lifetime gift, then the cost basis is the cost basis. And if you have reason to believe that the cost basis that we're reporting isn't correct because of death and it needs to be stepped up or something of that sort, let us know and we'll do that for you.
Oh, okay.
That's what they're referring to. And you're saying this is just a regular mutual fund account, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So if you're gifting it during your life, now, if you're willing to die for them, they will get a step up in basis before you transfer it to them. No,
right.
But it's, they're not, you don't like them that much, do you?
They need it now.
So then they have to pay the taxes on it. And you know what? That's actually a very good strategy if they're in a lower tax bracket than you are. So, you know, like I have clients where elderly parents are making less than $50,000 a year. Married elderly parents making less than $50,000 a year. I take highly appreciated mutual funds. I give it over to the parents. The parents sell it 100% tax-free as long as it keeps their income below about $80,000 of taxable income. So there are some times that this is an excellent strategy, but if they need it, just gift it to them. Don't worry. They'll pay a little bit of taxes, all capital gains, and so it won't be that big a deal. All right, Lee?
Another question. If you held the stock for more than a year, then if you sold it, it would be a long-term capital gain. But what about when you transfer it and they sell it next month?
It doesn't matter. When you transfer the stock to an heir, they immediately take on your basis and they take on the date that you purchased it yourself. So okay. They get the long-term capital gain. Now, there is an exception to the cost basis of a stock, and you know, and that is, so let's say I have a stock trading at 10. I mean, I have a stock that I bought at 10, but it's now trading at 8, and I gift the stock to my heirs. Now, the basis in the hands of the heirs is either 8 or 10 or somewhere in between, depending on if they sell it or not. So this gets a little complicated. And anyway, but there can be times where a gift is not the cost basis if it's down in price. And that's another reason why they're asking the question. All right?
Okay, thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care. So we're going to Mike in Eldersburg. Mike, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. Thanks. I appreciate your time. I have a quick question. My sister, a little bit older than me, she's in her early 60s, went to go see a financial advisor who works for a big firm, and they suggested an index annuity for her. And since I listen to your show frequently, I said, make sure that they're a fiduciary. And she said she asked. And they said that they were a fiduciary in setting up the plan, but that in the product, they would not be acting as a fiduciary.
She needs to run from those people as fast as possible. And let me tell you something now, Mike. Annuities now can be purchased with no commissions whatsoever. And internally lower fees also, because they strip the salesman out of them. They're called fee-only annuities. They're exactly like these big brokerage firm annuities or these guys that are selling annuities and taking hideous commissions off of people and then locking them into 10-year deferred sales charges and surrender charges and things like that. You know, now you can buy these same annuities with all the guarantees, all the bells and whistles, et cetera, except for the bonus. And the bonus is totally phony baloney stuff anyway. Anybody falls for that bonus stuff is not thinking logically about what they're telling you. No insurance company is going to pay a insurance agent 10% commission and then turn around and give you a 6% bonus so that they can hold your annuity. That's ridiculous. And if you think about it, why do they take the bonus back if you liquidate the annuity before the 10th year? They hit you with a surrender charge and they hit you with a bonus repayment plan, okay? So why did they do that? Well, one is because they haven't had enough time to rip money off of you to pay the commission back to the agent. They need 10 years to do that, and they need 10 years to recoup your bonus that they paid you. So who paid your bonus? You paid it when they take all these fees out of that account and all the money they're making off you over the next 10 years. And so that's why these things are, you know, they do these things to attract people in to buy them who aren't really thinking about them logically, and they think they've got something really good. Well, now at least you got these new fee-only annuities where you can get the annuity, no commissions, no sales charges, no surrender charges, no bonuses, no repayment of bonuses, lower fees internally, and all the same bells and whistles. So if she wants to do it, have her contact my office, or you can contact lots of other companies. There's a company out there called Retire One and DPL Financial, and that's all they do is sell no commission, fee-only annuities. But if they want to call our office, we do it for our clients all the time. Who would, well, yeah, we don't.
I already gave her your office number in Gettysburg. She lives in Pennsylvania.
Well, and, that's great. We work with clients all over the United States, too. We have clients in three countries in the world also. So it doesn't matter if they're near one of our offices or not. They can contact us, and we can help them no matter what. All right?
Yeah, well, yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Great question. And, you know, it is something that, you know, more and more people have to start thinking about and understanding is that if you're interested in annuities, you have to start looking for people who do the fee only, no commission, no surrender policies, and compare it to the commission one. And you'll see. Pretty straightforward. No brainer, in my opinion. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
What I'd like to do to you, jolly people you love with love, show them the way you feel. Things are gonna be much better.